Welcome back to another episode of the Unlearning Podcast. My name is Ashley Lynn Hanks, and I am your host, your guide, and your biggest cheerleader on your unlearning journey. The Unlearning Podcast is all about helping you learn to love Jesus and your neighbor through healthy, life-giving Christian theology. For anyone new to the show, my name is Ashley, and I'm a Cuban-American lesbian from Miami, a graduate of Claremont School of Theology, a wife, and a new mother to a beautiful baby girl. In the next few weeks, I'm going to continue to highlight some of Hayward's sexual theology, Carter Hayward's sexual theology. And so if you haven't already, I want to encourage you to hit the subscribe button so that you don't miss an episode. I also want to encourage you to purchase Carter Hayward's book yourself. If the unlearning journey of toxic theology, of the purity culture is of any interest to you, Hayward's book is absolutely essential. You can find Touching Our Strength, The Erotic as Power, and The Love of God on Amazon and on her website. I'll make sure to provide those links in the show notes below so that you can check them out. Now, the big theme in these next couple of episodes is on Hayward's book, and it's all about renewing sex. That's what I hope to do with this series. Renew your sexual theology. That's not an easy task given how much hurtful teachings we digested over the years being in the evangelical church, but it is an important task. How we understand sex and God very much dictates how we understand pleasure and gender and ultimately the political. And so to start off our journey towards renewal and sexual wholeness, I want to unpack this complicated term called sexual confusion. It's a term evangelicals use when they try to explain why a woman wants to be sexual with another woman or why someone believes that they are a girl when they were born biologically male. Now, it's important to remember that gender and sexuality are completely different topics. In 2015, actor Eddie Redmayne was in a film called The Other Danish Girl, where the film explores this distinction that sexuality and gender are not the same thing. Someone can be a trans man and be heterosexual. And so when we talk about this idea of sexual confusion, it usually relates to perceived confusion around sexuality and gender, but it's not really about how people identify with regards to their gender. When evangelicals use the word sexual confusion, it's often a pathological term, a term used negatively to characterize people who are not heterosexual. And you know this, I don't have to explain this to you, but what you might have never considered is how confusion can be a good thing. In her book, Touching Our Strength, Carter Hayward describes the coming out experience as being quite confusing. And yet she explained that being confused about your sexuality isn't inherently wrong. It isn't something that naturally feels good, but it doesn't make it wrong. What makes this kind of experience perhaps painful is the homophobia of conservative churches and the teaching of heterosexuality being the only quote-unquote normal sexual identity. Now, in her book, Carter Hayward wrote, and I quote, that we ought not to underestimate the positive, constraining, and dynamic role of confusion in our lives. By confusion, this is Hayward speaking, I mean that which is unclear, cloudy, and unable to be seen well at this time. It is a form of concealment. End quote. Now, that's very interesting. That's a very interesting way of understanding sexual confusion, right? Confusion being a form of concealment, that the confusing desire or complicated pull towards loving someone of the same gender can be a form of concealment. But concealing what? Perhaps it's concealing the blessing of our true identity, concealing the blessing of a new chapter in our spiritual growth, or concealing the beginning of a new adventure. Perhaps you're a parent or a sibling or a friend of an LGBTQIA person, and sometimes your own confusion over why your loved one seems to have changed feels this way. It can feel challenging and painful, but I want to offer up that perhaps it can be a positive, constraining, dynamic experience of growth in your life too. Your confusion might be the tension over not seeing the person you love clearly. And so it conceals you from them. You can't see or understand your loved one as they are because you are being blinded perhaps by your own expectations or your own understanding of sexuality. There's nothing wrong with this kind of confusion. Instead of being ashamed of what we don't understand, instead of being frustrated, we ought to embrace the lack of clarity, embrace the mystery and the unknowing, because it is in this embracing what is concealed that we begin to open up to what we don't understand, and that we begin to open ourselves up to the work of God. In a very real way, many of us have been shaped in the image of heterosexual patriarchy. We have been groomed to see the ideal male identity as white, patriarchal, and who is a protector, provider, and a leader. And we have been groomed to understand women as the partner who supports such protector, provider, and leader, not a partner who threatens or challenges that. And so in these very narrow understandings of gender, we have been shaped in the image of heterosexual patriarchy by our churches and society, and we are dying to break out. This is what it means to come out of the closet, to come out of hiding your sexuality, and to break free from heterosexual expectations. Hayward described coming out as a way of shining light. She wrote, and I quote, "Whenever we speak the truths of our lives in situations in which our truths are unwelcome, we are like an intense light, difficult for others to bear." Carter Hayward's words remind me of when Jesus said in Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16, that you are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. People do not light a lamp and put it under the bushel basket. Rather, they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. You see, speaking the truth about your life is like shining a light that God has given you. It's living into Jesus' call for you to be a city on a hill. God did not light up your life with your unique personality that you have been blessed with and your unique identity so that you may remain hidden in the closet, but rather, God calls you forth into a life of shining your bright light into genuine freedom. Let me repeat Hayward's words. Remember, we speak the truths of our lives in situations in which our truths are unwelcome sometimes. And when we do this, we are like an intense light, difficult for others to bear. Now, she goes on to write, "The primary danger to us in this moment is that the intensity of our own light may bounce back upon us and blind us," end quote. Hayward's words are pretty interesting. We can have our own light and shine that light, but shining can be so loud and so bright that it blinds us to the reality of others. It's important, no matter what our truth is, that we make space for mutual understanding and seeing other people as they are, even if it is difficult to bear. Otherwise, we risk being blinded to one another and to one another's humanity. You see, my own coming out experience was quite complicated and difficult. I definitely went through a period of my own life of feeling confused and slightly crazy, if I'm honest. And I went through this period before I came out of the closet. I was raised in a church and in a family that believed queer sexuality was abnormal and weird. Never mind the fact that my parents had openly gay friends and loved Elton John and enjoyed watching Will and Grace. But despite those influences, over the course of my life, I was given several wonderful examples of what it meant to shine your personal light and to be free from heterosexual patriarchal expectations from both queer and heterosexual people. I was also given the gift of Black feminist thought in my undergraduate education, teaching me that I needed to stop conforming to white evangelical heterosexual assumptions and live out who I truly am, which is a butch, lesbian, Christian woman. You see, I really believe that we need to honor our confusion, to honor that which is unclear and mysterious in our lives. Hayward wrote that this experience of honoring the confusion involves, and I quote, "living patiently in the dialect between confusion and clarity as we attempt to pace ourselves in coming out," end quote. There should never be a rush to come out of the closet or to tell your truth, but there should be a consistent dialogue with God, other people, especially the people you trust, as you journey along this path of being between what you know for sure and what you can't explain. We ought to remain patiently in the dialect until what is concealed becomes clear. In her introduction to her book, Hayward wrote this beautiful passage that really spells it out. It's almost like a prayer, a holy call to action in embracing our sexual identities and the spiritual power that brings us to God. And so as we close, I want to share it with you. Okay, it's quite long, so stay with me. It's really, really beautiful. Hayward wrote, and I quote, "In struggling to come to terms with the pervasiveness of evil in our life together, for example, with anti-Semitism, racism, heterosexism, economic exploitation, and their violent interconnections, I have become increasingly interested in probing the character of that which is radically good in our common life, our power in mutual relationships as the basis of our creative and liberating possibilities, literally the only basis of our hope for the world. This interest has produced this sexual theology." This is the intro in her book written by Carter Hayward. "For at its core, this book is about nurturing and cultivating the goodness of our lives. As we nurture our common goodness, are we better able to deal with evil? Are we wiser, more courageous, more patient with ourselves and others in this world as we learn to take seriously our power for touching the sacred, our power for creating and sustaining right relation? Does this strengthen our desire, commitment of mutuality, teach us more fully what it means to live serenely in quiet confidence that regardless of the toll of violence, regardless of the toll of betrayal and evil in our lives, nothing can separate us from the power of good, the power of right relationships, which Christians and other theists may choose to name the love of God. This book is shaped in the matrix of such a question. I do not know the answers, and I cannot find them by myself. We work together, you and I. We help each other learn to resist and to rest in the gentle measure, a day at a time, involving ourselves more fully in healing the splits within, between, and among us. We call each other forth, daring to touch our strength, to participate with confidence and awe, and with one another in the ongoing redemption of God." End quote. I really love this book. I'm excited that the last couple of episodes and the episodes to come are going to help you explore her theology. My hope in prayer is that in this series of episodes, whether you are heterosexual or bisexual or trans, that God would use this series to heal the splits within you, to bridge the unnecessary gaps between your flesh and spirit, between your humanity and God, between sex and divinity. May God help us heal the split within us. Until next time, my name is Ashley Lynn Hanks, and you are listening to the Unlearning Podcast.